Today we'd like to see the title of Playing David in 1 Samuel chapters 22 and 23. Question 1 in chapter 22 verse 18. And the king said to Doeg, "You turn and kill the priest." So Doeg the Edomite turned and struck the priest and killed on that day 85 men who were Olenan Ephraim. Who does it mean in what does it mean in the context, and what can we learn from here? Question 2 in chapter 23, verse 2. Therefore, David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go and attack these Philistines?" And the Lord said to David, "Go and attack the Philistines and save Keilah." What does it mean in the context, and what can we learn from here? Last question in chapter 23, verse 18. So the two of them made a covenant with the Lord, and David stayed in the woods, and Jonathan went to his own house. What does it mean in the context, and how can we apply it to our lives? Last time, so we covered chapter 21, 13, 15. So basically, David escaped from the Saul's pursuit into Philistine area. In order to survive, he pretended to be insane. This is a striking contrast. From beginning, after he destroyed Goliath, the chief of enemy, then the Israel woman said, "Is Saul 1,000, but David 10,000. So is that kind of heroity. The striking contrast reveals both David's desperate circumstances and his determination to preserve the life God had promised to use. Then today, chapter 22, David therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave Adullam. So when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, and they went down there to him, and everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented gathered to him. So he became captain over them, and there were about 400 men with him. David fled to the caves Adullam, located in the valley of Elah, southwest of Bethlehem, the crossroads there. Because Saul's hostility had become increasingly violent, David's father, brothers, and the entire family joined him there for safety. Saul had become irrational after rejecting the Lord, and his jealousy had grown into dangerous paranoia. That crossroads there. Soon, many who were distressed, burdened with debt, or dissatisfied with life gathered around David, and he became their leader. Though they appeared to be unlikely followers, God later transformed them into David's mighty men from 400 to 600, to 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 13. Demonstrating that God often raised up ordinary and broken people for extraordinary service. That cross-reference right here, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, because God wants us for God's glory. That's why God used the weak. 3 and 4. Then David went from there for Mizpah over Moab, and he said to the king of Moab, "Please let my father and mother come here with you till I know what God will do for me." So he brought them before the king of Moab, and they dwelt with him all the time that David was in the stronghold. David brought his parents to Mitzpah of Moab and asked the king of Moab to protect them until God revealed his plan for David's future. Moab likely granted this request because David's great-grandmother Ruth was a Moabitess, the close relative there, rather than forcing events according to his own plans. David patiently entrusted his family and future to God's guidance. 5-8. Now the prophet God said to David, "Do not stay in the stronghold, depart and go to the land of Judah." So David departed and went into the forest of Hereth. When Saul heard that David and the men who were with him had been discovered, now Saul was staying in Gibeah under a tamarisk tree in Ramah, with his spear in his hand, and all his servants standing about him. Then Saul said to his servant who stood about him, "Hear now, you Benjamites, with the son of Jesse, give every one of you fields and vineyards, and make you all captains of thousands and captains of hundreds. All of you have conspired against me, and there is no one who reveals to me that my son has made a covenant with the son of Jesse. There is not one of you who is sorry for me or reveals to me that my son has stirred up my servants against me to lie in wait as it is this day." The prophet God instructed David to leave the stronghold and return to Judah, showing that God's guidance, not military safety, determined David's movement. Meanwhile, Saul accused his servants and even his son Jonathan of conspiring with David, appealing to tribal loyalty. Saul favored the Benjamites in an attempt to secure their political support. His growing jealousy and paranoia reveal how persistent sin distorts judgment, destroys trust, and blinds a person to reality. Cross reference there, Proverbs 14:30, James 3:16. 9-13. Then answered Doeg the Edomite, who was the set over the servant of Saul, and said, "I saw the son of Jesse going to Nob, to Abimelech, the son of Ahitub, and he inquired of the Lord for him, gave him provisions, and gave him the sword of Goliath the Philistine." So the king sent to call Ahimelech, the priest, the son of Ahitub, and all his father's house, the priests who were in Nob. And they all came to the king, and Saul said, "Hear now, son of Ahitub." He answered, "Here I am, my lord." Then Saul said to him, "Why have you conspired against me, you and the son of Jesse, in that you have given him bread and a sword, and have inquired of God for him, that he should arise against me to lie in wait as it is this day?" So Abimelech answered the king and said, 13, "Doeg the Edomite informed Saul that Abimelech had provided David with holy bread, Goliath's sword, and had inquired of the Lord on David's behalf." Although Abimelech had acted innocently, Saul interpreted these actions as treason, because of fear and suspicion had completely overtaken his heart. Sinful jealousy often causes people to misjudge the motives of others. 14:17. So Abimelech answered the king and said, "And who among all of your servants is at the faithless David, who is the king's son-in-law, who goes at your bidding and is honorable in your house? Did I then begin to inquire of God for him? Far be it from me, let not king impute anything to his servant or to any in the house of my father. For your servant knew nothing of all of this, little or much." And the king said, "You shall surely die, Abimelech, you and all father's house." Then the king said, to the guards who stood upon and turned and killed priests of the Lord, because they handled with David, and because they knew when he fled and did not tell it to me. But the servant of the king would not lift their hand to strike priests of the Lord. Abimelech defended himself by explaining that David had always been one of Saul's most faithful servants, the king's son-in-law, and a trusted military command. He had no knowledge of any conflict between David and Saul. Nevertheless, Saul condemned Abimelech and the entire priesthood household to death. Saul's guards refused to carry out the execution because they feared God more than they feared the king, illustrating that obedience to God must always take a precedence over obedience to sinful human authority. Cross-reference Act 5:29. Verse 18, question 1. And the king said to Doeg, "You turn and kill the priest." So Doeg did my turn and struck the priest and killed on that day 85 men who were a linen effort. God sometimes permits evil to reveal the full consequence of human rebellion and to demonstrate the destructive nature of sin. Scripture never promised the face of believers will be exempt from suffering in the following word. Cross-reference there, John 16:33, 2 Timothy 3:12. Although God allowed this terrible tragedy, he remains sovereign and will ultimately judge every act of evil while rewarding those who remain faithful. Cross-reference Matthew 5:11-12, Revelation 21:7-20-5. Verse 19:20. Also now, the city of priests is struck with the edge of the sword, both men and women, children, nursing infants, oxen, donkeys, and sheep, with the edge of the sword. Now one of the sons of Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, named Abiathar, escaped and fled after David. So completely destroyed the priest's city of Nob, killing priests, women, children, infants, and even livestock. Only Abiathar, the son of Abimelech, escaped and fled to David, bringing the effort with him. Through Abiathar, God preserved the legitimate priesthood and later faithfully served as David's high priest throughout most of David's reign. Cross-reference there. 21:23. And Abiathar told David that Saul had killed the Lord's priests. So David said to Abiathar, "I knew that day when Doeg the Edomite was there that he would surely tell Saul, 'I have caused the death of all the persons of your father's house. Stay with me, do not fear, for he will seek my life, seek your life, but with me you shall be safe.'" When Abiathar informed David of Saul's massacre, David immediately accepted responsibility, because he had suspected Doeg would report his visit to Saul. Rather than shifting blame, David humbly acknowledged his part in the tragedy and promised Abiathar protection. He assured Abiathar that anyone who wanted to kill David would also be his enemy. David's response reveals the humility, compassion, and tender conscience that characterize his leadership. 23, verse 1. Then they told David, saying, "Look, the Philistines are fighting against the Keilah, and they are robbing the threshing floors." The Philistines attacked the city Keilah by looting his threshing floors, depriving the people of their grain and threatening their survival. The attacker endangers the entire community because the harvest grain represented cities of food supply for the coming year. 2 to 5, you know, the first two questions to you. Therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go and attack this Philistine in a during fleeing situation?" And the Lord said to David, "Go and attack Philistine, save Keilah city." But David's man said to him, "Look, we are afraid here in how much more than if you go to Keilah against the armies of Philistine?" Then David inquired of the Lord once again, And the Lord answered him, saith, Arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistine into your hand. And David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistine, struck them with a mighty blow, and took away their livestock. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. Before responding to Philistine attack, David sought God's direction, probably through Abiathar, using the Ephod and the Urim Thummim. Even after receiving God's instruction, David sought the confirmation when his men expressed the fear. Only after reaffirmed his promises did David rescue Keilah from the Philistine. This teaches believers to seek God's wisdom before making important decisions through prayer, scripture, the Holy Spirit's guidance, and godly counsel upon every circumstance, either apparently good or bad, rather than relying on human reasoning alone. So cross-reference there. 6-9. Now it happened when Abiathar the son of Abimelech fled to David at Keilah, that he went down with the ephod in at his hand. And Saul was told that David had gone to Keilah. So Saul said, God has delivered him into my hand, for he has shot himself in by entering a town that had a gate and bars. Then Saul called all the people together for word to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. When David knew that Saul plotted evil against him, he said to Abiathar, the priest, bring the ephod here. When Saul heard that David had entered the fortified city of Keilah, he wrongly concluded that God had delivered David into his hand. Saul interpreted the favorable circumstances as a divine approval. Yet scripture teaches that God never tempts anyone to do evil. Apparent opportunities should never be confused with God's will. Every circumstance must be tested according to God's revealed word. That's a cross-reference right there. Then 10-13. Then David said, O Lord God of Israel, your servant has certainly heard that Saul seeks to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the man Keilah deliver me into his hand? Will Saul come down as your servant has heard? O Lord God of Israel, I pray, tell your servant. The Lord said he will come down. Then David said, will the man of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, they will deliver you. So David and his men, about 600, arose and departed from Keilah and went to wherever they would go. Then it was told to Saul, and David had escaped from Keilah, so he halted the expedition. David again sought God's guidance by asking whether Saul would come to Keilah and whether the people he had rescued would betray him. God revealed that both events would occur. Although David had risked his life to save the citizen would surrender him to Saul. Therefore, David wisely departed with about 600 men before Saul arrived. This passage reminds believers never to presume upon human gratitude or outward appearances, but always to seek God's direction in every situation, either favorable or disfavorable. The cross reference there. 14:18. And David stayed in stronghold in the wilderness and remained in the mountains in the wilderness of Jeb. Saul sought him every day, but God did not deliver him into his hand. So David saw that Saul had come out to seek his life, and David was in the wilderness of Jeb in a forest. Then Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the woods and strengthened his hand in God. And he said to him, do not fear, for the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find you. you shall be king of Israel, and I shall be next to you, even my father Saul Lord's death. So the two of them made a covenant before the Lord, and David stayed in the wood, and Jonathan went to his own house. Question 3, verse 18. Although Saul relentlessly pursued David, God continued to protect him. Jonathan sought David in the wilderness and strengthened his faith by reminding him of God's promise that he would become Israel's next king. Rather than seeking the throne for himself, Jonathan willingly submitted to God's sovereign plan and renewed his covenant with David, people of the Lord. Their friendship was marked by mutual trust, spiritual encouragement, sacrifice, love, and submission to God's will, providing a biblical model of a genuine friendship. Now 19:20. Then Zaphat came up to Saul and Gibeah, saying, "Is David not hiding with us in stronghold in the woods in the hill of Hakilah, which is on the south of Jeshimon? Now therefore, king, come down according to all the desire of your soul to come down, and our part shall be to deliver him into the king's hand." And Saul said, "Blessed are you of the Lord, for you have compassion on me. Please go and find out for sure and see the place where he hides out and who has seen him there. For I am told he is very crafty. See therefore and take knowledge of all the lurking places where he hides, and come back to me with certainty, and I will go with you, and it shall be. If he is in the land, and I will search for him throughout all the clans of Judah." So they arose and went to the chief before Saul. But David and his men were in the wilderness of Maon, in the plain on the south of Jeshimon. When Saul and his men went to seek him, they told David. Therefore he went down to the rock and stayed in the wilderness of Maon. And when Saul heard that, he pursued David in the wilderness of Maon. Then Saul went on one side of a mountain, and David and his men on the other side of the mountain. So David made haste to get away from Saul, for Saul and his men were encircling David and his men to take them. The Ziphites betrayed David by informing Saul over his location and offering to hand him over. Saul organized his army to surround David by dividing the forces around both sides of the mountain, leaving David seemingly trapped with no human means of escape. Even when God's servants appeared surrounded by impossible circumstances, the Lord remained fully in control. 27:29. But a messenger came to Saul, saying, "Hurry and come, for the Philistines have invaded the land." Therefore Saul returned from pursuing David and went against the Philistines. So they called that place the Rock of Escape. Then David went up from there, dwelt in stronghold at En-Gedi. Just as Saul was about to capture David, a messenger urgently reported that Philistines had invaded Israel. Saul immediately abandoned the pursuit in order to defend the nation, allowing David to escape safely to the stronghold En-Gedi, which we visit there, right? God often delivers his people through ordinary historical events directed by his sovereign providence, reminding believers that his timing is always perfect. Cross reference right there. So we covered all three questions. So continuously keep on prayer for us, all mission efforts. So we connected over about 30 foreign countries. Keep on. Right now it's the Japan, you know, mission tour. Also right here, you know, certain denomination is the difference. But Kabul Chapel's every non-denomination will surely focus on entire scripture, whole counsel of God, and the Holy Spirit work. just too simple. So basically, we do not, heretic denomination or not, we are using Apostles' Creed. That is a factual interpretation basis. Okay, let's sing all together Maranatha song on brochure.